السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. عن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سأله رجل فقال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما الإيمان؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سرتك حسنتك وساءتك سيئتك فأنت مؤمن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. حضرت أبو أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه, he states that a person questioned Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that what is Iman. Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the one who also made great ihsan upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the one who questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam concerning a problem, and he said that I have a difficulty that we cannot remember all the du'as that you taught us. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made so much of du'as for the ummah, asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for so many different things and seeking protection in Allah ta'ala from all the mischief and the fasad and the fitnas that are going to come. Different types of mischief and fitna and fasad. Whole volumes have been compiled on the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot remember everything. Many of us cannot remember all the du'as which you have taught us. So what do we do? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, well, make one du'a. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'auzu bika min sharri masta'aza minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now this dua covers every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from the time that he got nubuwat up till he passed away from this world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala has given him a hayat, Allah ta'ala has given him a life which we cannot comprehend and understand. From the surface of this earth, from Madina Sharif, or whilst he was there in Madina Sharif, we will say, or we will use the term, that he passed away and the Sahaba, they buried Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But it does not mean that death came upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, even the graves cannot eat up their bodies. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam a life which we cannot understand. When we read durood and salam, it is presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds to the salam that the people make at the Rosa Mubarak. He says, personally I reply to it. Now that is a different subject, but what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he thought, or he made many, many du'as in his life. And all those du'as are covered in this one little du'a. So like that, we should be making as much dua as possible, because dua shows that we've got a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We regard him as our support. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the fulfillment of our needs. We express our helplessness before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All treasures lie with Allah ta'ala. So the greater our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the more he will make it easy for us in this world and in the akhirat. And he will fulfill our needs, because all needs are fulfilled by Allah Ta'ala. Although outwardly we see that our business is provided, outwardly we see that from the farm the produce came, and outwardly we see that this person assisted and helped, but in reality everything is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I have explained this many times, that if you look at anything which a person has, anything that's in our possession, generally it comes through three different sources. One is that the person has worked very hard. He worked so hard that he was not even worried about Zohar, Asar, Isha, Maghrib. He wasn't concerned about halal, haram. He wasn't concerned about zakat and lillah and fitrah and sadqa. The person was just working very, very hard. Some of them, they work very hard, they say. But then the end result of that kind of working very hard, everybody knows. But if the person worked hard and he earned halal, now we're not talking about those who worked so hard that they were not even concerned about Zohar, Maghrib. But now we're talking about those who worked hard, but they were concerned that the earning was halal. So now the person says, I worked very hard. I went to Hong Kong, I went to Japan, China, Timbuktu, and I went and purchased goods, and I went through the difficulties and hardships, working late at night, and I earned. So therefore, how can you say that Allah Ta'ala provided because I earned with my hard work and effort? So this person has to just look at his own body, which was used in this hard work and effort. Who blessed him with the sight with which he was able to see the color of the garments and the color of the fabric and material that he was purchasing? Who gave him that sense of touch that he was able to feel so many things which he was purchasing? Who gave him that intelligence which he used in the manufacture of those goods and in the sale of those goods? Who gave him that health in his body? Who converted that food into blood? Who provided him with this whole system, the heart, liver, lungs, all functioning? If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took away these ni'mats of his, would he have been able to work hard? There are so many people who want to work hard, but they cannot. So at the end of the day, if this person really has to take a stock, then he will find that it is Allah Ta'ala who provided him with all those faculties. So it is from Allah. The second way is the person got inheritance. Now inheritance also, some person, his father dies, and the inheritance that he gets is that he has to pay his father's debts. The father died, and the inheritance that he got is that the people are demanding from him that your father is owing me money, or he was owing me money. Although they cannot demand from the son, unless the son was in partnership in the same business. But some people, their inheritance is that the father died leaving behind big debts. So all their life of the children, people keep taunting them that your father was owing me a lot of money. And some people, the inheritance they get is a few rands, or one small little hut, or hardly anything. And some people get inheritance of millions, and some even billions. So now who is it that caused this person to be born in a certain home, or a certain family, or a certain person, that this person received that kind of inheritance? Was it his own choice? Did he plan that I want to be born a prince, or did she plan that I want to be born a princess so that I may inherit palaces? It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it was his choice, and this person was born in this home or that home, this family or that family, and now the person got inheritance. So this inheritance also, where did it come from? In reality, it came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Thirdly, it could be in the form of a gift. Now this gift also, who is it that provided the person who is the giver of this gift? Again, it is Allah Ta'ala who provided him. And then who is it that put into his mind, into his heart, that go and give this gift to so and so? Why didn't he go and give it to somebody else? The millions of people in the world, he could have given it to somebody else. It is again from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that the thought came into that person's mind and heart, that this which I have provided for you, from there go and give so and so a gift. So whichever way you look at it, it is all coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But for the purposes of this world, Allah ta'ala has given us some kind of property rights. If we didn't have those kind of property rights, then every person would have gone and claimed the other person's property and say everything belongs to Allah ta'ala, so therefore it belongs to me. So it is just for that, otherwise in reality everything is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many du'as you taught us, how can we remember all those du'as? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, well, read this du'a. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the person is asking for everything which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all the goodness that he asked. And he seeks protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from all the mischief, fitnas, corruption, fasad. Whether it is the fasad and fitna of Dajjal, or the fasad and fitna of our mal, or whether it is the fasad and fitna of other things, the person is seeking protection. He is saying, Ya Allah, just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he sought protection from, I am also seeking protection from that. And then it goes on, inshallah, but that is a different subject again. What I was talking about was that Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, a person questioned him and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what is Iman? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when your good deeds please you, when a person does a good deed, then it makes him happy, it makes him pleased. And when the person does an evil deed, then it makes him unhappy, displeased. The person feels hurt, the person feels grieved. The person considers it an evil. Then you are a mu'min. When a person does a good deed, then it makes him happy. But if he is doing anything that is evil, accidentally if he committed some sin also, then it hurts him, it grieves him, it pains him. The person considers it as evil. He does not enjoy, in simple language, he does not enjoy evil. He enjoys good deeds. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, you are a mu'min. Now in the light of this small little hadith, we must take stock of ourselves. This month is a month of stock taking. That do our good deeds please us and our evil deeds hurt us and pain us? We are talking about the majority of the Muslims in the world. That the good deeds, do they please, and do the evil deeds hurt and cause pain, or is it the other way around? So now where can there be Iman, or what quality of Iman is that, or what degree of Iman is that? When the person is indulging in sins and he is happy about those sins. Tell me which person today who is watching a film in which there's dancing, singing, music, nudity and other kind of filth, and the person is not enjoying it, therefore he is watching it. Or the person is indulging in adultery or fornication, or is indulging in any other sin. The majority of the time the person is enjoying that sin. Now this is a danger signal. I don't say that we will never commit sins. We are human beings, we are bound to make mistakes. But at least in this month of Ramadan, and not month of Ramadan, but right now when we listen to it, at least we should begin to hate sins. Just as a person does not like to be in an area which is surrounded by nothing but filthy urine and feces and other kinds of filth, the person doesn't like to be there. In the same way, this person must hate, he must hate sins. Sins must be hated in his sight. He must want to run away from sin. And accidentally, if he got caught up, then again, plenty of tawbah and istighfar. But there must be no place in the person's life for enjoyment of sins. Otherwise, there is, in reality, no Iman. When the person enjoys sins, then there is no Iman. How can a person enjoy sin? If we only can take this one lesson, it will change our lives. That we enjoy good deeds. Good deeds is something that a person should enjoy. And sins is something that the person should hate. There must be like a stench that comes out of that sin. It must make the person's life restless. It must make his sleep haram for him. He must not enjoy his food. He must not enjoy his breakfast, lunch and supper. There must be no smile left on his face. There must be no joking of any kind until the person has really cried before Allah and said, "Ya Allah, after all what you have given to me, how can I be sinning? How can I be doing those things that are displeasing to you?" Now he cries. So then this person is a mu'min. Then he is a mu'min because he hates sin. Accidentally he got caught. But enjoyment of sins, that the person is putting on the television and is enjoying himself, laughing, giggling, and calling others also, "You come and watch with me too." The person buys a filthy magazine, now is calling others also, "You read it too." The person is going to the casino, he says, "How can I go alone? You come with me too." The person is going to the cinema and theater, he says, "You also join me." Now this shows that the person's iman is at a very, very low level. And the danger light is on. And when the danger light comes on, the person must rush to the garage and get that battery fixed. Otherwise the car could stall. And sometimes the engine could seize because the danger light came on. There's no oil left in that car. So it means our spiritual oil is gone very low. Now this month of Ramadan is so that we top up that car. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the ummah at large, the hidayah to make amal on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on the teachings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And may He bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat, and protect us from all the fitnas, mischief, corruption that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.